Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, on this very special induction day for the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Plenty to talk about with the Colorado Rockies series against the Orioles. Some you might want to talk a little bit more about than others, but still an overall great baseball weekend. Ryan McMahon, how did he fare in New York? It's maybe the dog days of summer, but as we approach the trade deadline and with the inductions in Cooperstown, it's just feels like right now is a good time to be a baseball fan. And even if your team isn't particularly playing well, baseball is in the air. Baseball is that time. And for some families with kids who love baseball or sports, they're going back to school. And so these are the final moments, the final days before school begins, before the football season really starts to heat up. And you know, the preseason for the NFL gets going, the season starts. Next thing you know, it's the NBA and NHL. This is kind of the final time that baseball can really take center stage. And it did so in a big way during the Hall of Fame inductions. But let's get things kick-started with the three-game set in Baltimore. Colorado, with a win on Friday, a 6-5 victory, their third in a row, to put them at 5-2 to start the second half, tied for the best record in all of the National League. Despite that 5-2 record going into Saturday, they get absolutely trounced by the Orioles, who are, yes, in last place in the American League East, 18-0, maybe even more troubling. No, I would say it's less troubling, giving up, rather having two hits is not as troubling, because we've seen that happen to the Rockies when they are on the road. Even though they scored 6 runs on Friday night and the offense really seemed to warm up as the game went on. But two hits, that's going to happen. It's giving up the 18 runs that can be the more troublesome statistic, the more troublesome number. On Sunday, with an opportunity to win their fifth series of the season, third series on the road, they're unable to get it done. They lose 6-1. Their only bit of offense, similar to Saturday night, but their only bit of offense was a warming Bernabéu home run, which was wonderful to see, a 385-foot blast for the recently turned 23-year-old first baseman. I thought he was supposed to be a third baseman. I will get to that for sure. But he provides the offense on Sunday. And on the pitching side of things, Austin Gomber still not very good. 4 1/3 innings pitch. I think it wasn't until the third inning that he finally had a swing and miss. Allowed 4 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Not great, not really inspiring from a guy that you would hope you'd be able to get something in a trade. but I think he might be worth more to the Rockies than any prospect that can come over, because that prospect might be inconsequential, and opening up a spot in the rotation may not necessarily be something that they're interested in doing, especially when you consider the fact that Carson Palmquist has now joined the ranks of relievers. Currently, right now, the Rockies do not have a left-handed reliever in the bullpen. Ryan Rolison optioned to AAA on Sunday. And so Carson Palmquist, despite success in the minors as a starting pitcher, he is now working out of the Isotopes bullpen. And so now he is more of a relief arm. That does take away from your starting pitching depth. They've already lost Herman Marquez. And while I am certainly of the camp of getting everything you can for your expiring assets, you absolutely have to. And if the Rockies have done that more, they would be a much better franchise and they would not be in the mess that they are in right now. Granted, you almost have to do that with every single expiring asset. Take what you can get, because it can be a crapshoot with prospects. But guess what? If you've got 10 prospects, you get one new one each and every year for a guy that really doesn't have a ton of value to other teams, and he might be able to help you avoid 100 losses. Now we're really talking about players that can help you from losing 121 games to tie the White Sox record from last year for most losses in modern day history. So you've got a guy that can help you do that. They're not going to help the other team quite as much. The Rockies in the past have typically been inclined to just hold on to those guys. But if you were to trade away a player like that each and every year over the course of 10 years, and let's face it, not even very many winning seasons when you go decade by decade for this franchise, but one of those guys is going to be a very good player that you get a cast off, if you will, from an organization that doesn't value this player. And sure, I'll take the player of this ilk that maybe is a number 4 or 5 starter, or maybe is a utility infielder, outfielder, or maybe is more like a sixth inning arm and is not going to be somebody dominant to close games down late in the postseason or late in September. We'll give you this guy because we've got enough backup catchers, or we've got enough whatever. Out of those 10 guys that you get that are cast offs, maybe only 5 of them even reach the majors. Maybe only 3 of them are able to contribute in any capacity, but at least one of those guys could be an everyday player. And if you like your ability to develop, remember, this is a franchise that says that they are draft and develop, well, then you might even be able to create an all-star out of one of those expiring assets. So I don't think the Rockies can get much right now for a pitcher like Austin Gomber, but take what you can get. Wild the Innocent saying, warming with one of the 2 hits in that beatdown on Saturday. Absolutely. Jeff, missed you. It's been a minute. Rymac had to go, but I'll be sad for a long time. He fared well over the weekend with the Yankees. A couple final notes, too, worth pointing out. In that 18-0 loss, Rockies also had 2 errors in that game. You didn't like to see that. You did like to see on Friday, the fight was there. The fight was there on Friday. It's not to say that they weren't fighting on Saturday night, but it got out of hand. It got out of reach. I don't want to say quickly, but it certainly wasn't an 8th inning outburst for them. Some of the runs did come in the middle of the later parts of the game. Doesn't matter. But Friday they battled, because the Orioles got 2 runs in the first inning, 2 runs in the second inning off Kyle Freeland, who has been known to grind, as Rocky social media said this weekend. They had some interesting posts. But he shut things down after that, and the offense ended up coming back. And the Rockies were down a man, let's not forget, after the Ryan McMahon trade. They basically played with a 25-man roster, because despite the fact that we knew Warming Burning Bell was going to come up and he was going to be a part of the 40-man and the 26-man roster on Saturday, he wasn't there on Friday. So they played down a man. Probably fair that the Orioles were also down a man after having traded Gregory Soto to the Mets. So now they've got 2 Sotos. Is Juan going to have a letter J in front of the Soto? Is Gregory going to have a G? Could one of them go with an initial and the other one not? They've already been on the roster together. I didn't follow through to look that up. Don't know that I really care all that much, but in talking with some clubhouse folks in the past, they've said first initials really aren't that necessary, for the simple fact that A, guys look different unless they're twins, right? And even in the case of Taylor and Tyler Rogers, who did pitch together on the Giants, okay, they did look a lot alike, but there's one big key difference with those two. It wasn't that one was righty, the other one was lefty. It was that they wore a different number. You wear a different number, so you don't need to have that first initial like in the past. I think it's a cool little designation, but at the same time, definitely not necessary to have that first initial on there. Now, Ryan McMahon. Oh, one other thing too with the series. Surprised to see no Brenton Doyle this weekend. Tried to follow up on that. Have not gotten an answer. He's from that area. And I think Warren Schaefer has been platooning Doyle just a little bit, mostly against left-handed pitchers. He seems to fare much better against lefties. It favors the hitters in that way. When it's the same side, righty pitcher, righty hitter, it favors the pitcher, lefty hitter, it favors the pitcher. So you had a lefty on the hill for the Orioles and Trevor Rogers, but we didn't see him on Saturday, even late in that game. All right, Ryan McMahon did a decent job endearing himself to the Yankees. It's hard to not be endearing because even if you didn't grow up a Yankees fan, and let's say you grew up in California on the other side of the country, like Ryan McMahon, there's still plenty that you know and can say about the original pinstriped club in the Bronx and the New York Yankees and all their championships. So it's easy to make sure that you can endear yourself just a little bit. What are your thoughts? If you're here live in the chat over on YouTube, if you're only listening to the audio side of things, that's cool. That's great. You can still rate and leave a comment, but you want to make sure you head over to the YouTube side, to the Rockies Insider channel, and subscribe so that you can join me when I do go live post game or earlier on in certain days when there's not a game. But curious, what were your thoughts in seeing him in the Yankee uniform, freshly shaved, despite the fact that you don't have to shave now anymore when you're with the Yankees? They do allow, you know, a nicely trimmed beard, which is what McMahon had at that point, but he trims down just a little bit, looks even younger than his 30 years of age that he currently is. So he made sure to say the right things in the introductory presser, saying, quote, "This is every kid's dream. When you're 9, 10 years old, hitting wiffle balls in the backyard, you're picturing yourself in Game 7 of the World Series at Yankee Stadium. It's going to be very cool." Maybe McMahon was imagining himself with the Dodgers doing it to the Yankees. Regardless, it's the Yankees. You are going to step up. And the fact that, you know, he very much wanted to go to New York, or rather at least embraced the move to New York. And so far, he's fared really well. 500 batting average. It's a small sample size, we know. But on Saturday, his first two at-bats, he strikes out. Second one, high, up and in. Not a great swing, but the body language definitely looked different. That is something I've been looking out for with Ryan McMahon in the early going, because I don't want to say the body language has been bad for Ryan McMahon, but the last couple years, you can see that frustration on his face almost entirely about himself. Not about his teammates. When he strikes out looking or strikes out swinging at a bad pitch, he's upset at himself. But that body language might not exactly fly in New York. And I saw an improved body language. And it really picked up after the first two strikeouts, because from there, he walked, he got a single. Then on Sunday, he started the game off with a pair of hits, including an RBI double, ended up scoring the fourth run of the game, which was the difference in the 4-3 win for the Yankees over the Phillies. But Saturday goes 1-for-3. That included a walk and made a diving play to his right, to the foul line, which looked very, very easy. Yankees fans absolutely ate that up. They loved that defensive web gem. On Sunday, 2-for-3, as I said, had the double, was also hit by a pitch. So he reaches base 3 of his 4 plate appearances. And overall, that would be 6 of 8 plate appearances. He's gotten on base. That's what that lineup needs now more than ever, especially when you consider that Aaron Judge is currently out of the lineup. UCL injury, currently on the 10-day IL, seems like he may need, maybe not exactly Tommy John, because now there are sort of internal braces. There's sort of modified Tommy John surgeries that players can get that will allow them to return a little bit sooner. You might remember Bryce Harper got that done. And by the end of May of the following season, he was able to play some first base. Does that mean Aaron Judge is going to have to be a first base at some point next year. That remains to be seen, but he'll go on the 10-day IL when he comes back. He'll likely have to be the DH with that torn UCL, and Giancarlo Stanton is probably going to have to go to one of the corners. Jason Dominguez is already somewhat of a butcher out in left field. Can they withstand two really bad corner outfielders? I don't think so. That makes Ryan McMahon's defense at third base all the more valuable, especially a ball that gets down the line that would traditionally be a double. If you've got Stanton or Dominguez in left field, that's probably a stand-up triple, maybe even an inside the park home run, the way those two guys are defensively, athletically, frankly. So McMahon's defense on display, Yankees fans loving that. And whatever he's able to provide at the bottom of the lineup is just an additional bonus. We saw him bat eighth in his first game, and so he might end up moving up just a little bit if he continues to get on base a lot, take pitches, which he has been known to do in the past. You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we could see someone like Ryan McMahon batting second for this team, maybe even batting leadoff. I think it must have been at the end of the 2023 season where Bud Black experimented a little bit with Ryan McMahon hitting leadoff, since he takes a lot of pitches, which is good for his teammates to see. And so McMahon's impact is being felt already by the Yankees. It might not be, you know, Eugenio Suarez, hey, this guy is an MVP caliber player this year. No, but incredibly valuable, invaluable right now as the Yankees are down a man. Adrian in the chat saying, very humble guy, talking about Ichiro. Great player. I admire the Japanese. They always seem to be at peace. They strive for a calm existence. Very true. Looking forward to talking about Ichiro here in a moment. Felix signing in. Appreciate you, buddy. I saw a video, a lot more social media content about Ryan McMahon right now. And there was one showing 9 baseballs that would have been a home run at Yankee Stadium that were not, because either he hit it to, you know, sort of center field, but right center at Oracle Park, or left center at Coors Field. Like, those are home runs at Yankee Stadium. So you go, man, he's at 16 home runs right now. Should he have 25? No, because you only have a home run in the ballpark that you've played in. There are times in which Ryan McMahon has been credited with a home run that wouldn't have been a home run at some ballparks, and vice versa. That's just kind of the lay of the land. I went on his Baseball Savant page, and I had to find out this concept of, okay, if you were to play all your games in one ballpark, how many home runs would you hit? Well, as it turns out, the ballpark in which he would have hit the most home runs this year would have been Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, 21 home runs. The ballpark in which he would have hit the fewest amount of home runs this season, if he would have played all 162, really his first 100 games of the season is what we're talking about, Yankee Stadium would have been the ballpark in which he hit the fewest amount of home runs, only 13. 17 at Coors Field, so a little bit more than the 16 he has in real life. We'll see how this ends up playing out, because we know Ryan McMahon can spray the ball all around the diamond. I think he's going to fare really well for the Yankees. As I said, sort of a Scott Brosius type, who was not a superstar everywhere else he was. In fact, he wasn't even a superstar in New York, but because he was surrounded by superstars, he was able to elevate his game just a little bit and do exactly what was needed in the role that he was in. And we've seen McMahon do that already. He's done just a wonderful job. I want to talk some more about the Orioles and their tanking. Got a lot in my notes about it, but I do want to get to the Hall of Fame speeches that were great. We know the Orioles have a lot of guys on expiring contracts. So after trading Gregory Soto, they still got Charlie Morton, Zach Eflin, Tomoyuki Shigano, who we saw on Sunday, looked pretty solid. Sir Anthony Dominguez. On the position player side, there's a pair of catchers in Gary Sanchez and, yes, Jacob Stallings. Yes, it's true. He's with the Orioles right now. They're having some catching issues, but there might be a team out there that need him. DH Ryan O'Hearn after his all-star first half. Cedric Mullins in center field, who made an outstanding catch to rob Orlando Arcia on Saturday. I posted that video over on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. And the question that I asked was, would you like to see the Rockies have an all-purple uniform like what the Orioles wear on Saturdays when they're at home? Will we see that at some point? I think so. From the simple fact that because of City Connect uniforms, you're going to get just about everything eventually. If the turnover is only going to be 3-4 years, at some point you're going to need to have something as bold as an all purple uniform. So I could see that happening. Orioles also have a couple guys that have team options for next year. Andrew Kittredge, also saw him on Sunday. Ramon Laureano has been playing great. Jorge Mateo. They've got a lot of different opportunity to move guys. And I think there are some people that would look at the Orioles right now and say, see, tanking doesn't work. Tanking doesn't work. Look how bad the Orioles are playing. They're in last place in the AL East. But defining work is different to many folks. I think because the Cubs and the Astros tanked in the early 2010s and they both brought home a World Series, people might define tanking as winning a World Series, when I don't think that's true at all. For me, I don't think that's what success would be, because for the Orioles, who lost 115 games in 2018, then they brought in Mike Elias from the Houston Astros, who learned under Jeff Lunau about how to win, how to build from the ground up, how to sell off your most valuable assets in order to bring back better players so that you could time it so that they were together at the same time, which we are seeing for the Orioles, despite it not working out right now. 108 losses in 2019. And we had the pandemic season in 2020, so it didn't really allow them to tap into that 100 loss potential. But they lose 110 in 2021. Done tanking. They win 83 games in 2022, and then back-to-back postseasons, 101 wins where they take down the Yankees and win the AL East. Think about that. The tanking goes from being in the basement, losing 100 games, 3 out of 4 years, probably should be 4 consecutive years, to winning the AL East and beating the likes of the Yankees and Red Sox, evil empire, and the Rays, lovable evil empire that they're always putting together. So they go to back-to-back postseasons for the first time since 96, 97. That's success to me. And they did it through the draft. They did it really well. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson in 2019. They also got Kyle Stowers in the second round, who they were able to use as a trade chip. In the fourth round, Joey Ortiz, who was used to acquire Corbin Burns last year. And then when Burns left in free agency, that allowed the Orioles to get a compensation pick, which was pick number 30 this past month. And they get Caden Bodine out of Coastal Carolina, the top catcher in the College World Series. That is how you manage your assets. You turn a fourth round pick in 2019 into a player that you draft in 2025 and is going to impact your club for future years. That's a decade's worth of value from a pick in 2019. They really continued to do that. And I think their drafting and developing has taken a hit over the last couple of years. Even Jackson Holliday, first overall in 2022, hasn't really developed the way they would have liked. But you look at what they were able to do with the assets that they had at that time, and I would not say that the Orioles tanking has been a failure. It might be a disappointment right now, but their window is still absolutely open. So I do not think that it is a disappointment.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Let's get into the Cleveland series real quick before I talk about the Hall of Fame. What's up with Cleveland? They're playing 500 ball. AL Central probably out of reach with how well Detroit has been playing. Final wild card is still within grasping distance. They just have a couple teams ahead of them, which is really the biggest issue, is jumping over, hurdling those teams. But in the last nine seasons, they've gone to the postseason in most of them, in six, I believe. In 2019, they won 93 games and missed out. 2023, 76 and 86, so they're 10 games under 500. But they, other than 2023, they have not been under 500 since 2012. You got to get somebody from that front office to come to Denver, and you need to do it yesterday. Their trade chips that are being discussed, many, but in the bullpen, Cade Smith, who was shut down last year. He was fantastic. Emmanuel Clase, 27-year-old closer with a huge pedigree already. He's been shaky this year, yes, but he's a three-time All-Star already. He's making $4.9 million this year, $6.4 next year, and then two options for 2028 and 2029 at $10 million each. That is an incredible price for a three-time All-Star. Cleveland got him from the Rangers, plus Delino DeShields Jr., who was on his way out of the majors at that point, for Corey Kluber, who was banged up at the time. So it was a brilliant trade for Cleveland. Now they might be able to spin that off and get even more for Corey Kluber, who had seen better days. So they're, again, managing assets well. We're also going to see Nolan Jones again. It'll be cool catching up with him. He's playing about as well this year as he was last year when he was hurt. So slightly below league average in terms of wins above replacement. Does have six outfield assists. He's doing most of his damage against right-handed pitchers, which makes sense since he is a left-handed hitter. 225 batting average, on-base percentage 310, slugging 330. Not great. So Rockies looking like they have come out ahead so far of this deal. These guys are still young. We'll have to wait and see if the Rockies did truly win the trade. So far, it does look like they have with the great play that Tyler Freeman has been putting together so far. Probables, all to be announced for Cleveland right now. But here's who I think is going to be starting. We've got 4:40 start time on Monday and Tuesday. And Wednesday, we've got three night games. So you'll settle into a nice rhythm here to close out the month of July going into the deadline. It's Bradley Blaylock versus Slade Ciccone, formerly of the Diamondbacks. Tuesday, Tanner Gordon versus lefty Logan Allen. Not the Logan Allen, that's a right-hander. And that pitch with Albuquerque in 2022 and 23. And then on Wednesday, it's Kyle Freeland against possibly another lefty. That one's even harder to figure out, but it could be Doug Nikhazy. Let's jump to the chat real quick. Which Rocky has the next potential to be in the Hall of Fame, Tula or Cargo? Well, unfortunately, both of those gentlemen were on this past year's ballot. And I think Tula got a vote, and I don't think Cargo got a vote. So they are off the ballot, and they will not be sniffing the Hall of Fame, even on a veterans ballot going forward. I said it back in, I want to say it was January of 2023, that after Todd Helton, the next guy that would get into the Hall of Fame that had the best shot that I think a lot of people forgot about, that was a part of the Rockies organization. You don't think about him when you think about being a Rocky. But still, I said in January of 2023 that Jim Leland had the best shot at being the next Rocky in the Hall of Fame. And sure enough, the Veterans Committee voted him in. In fact, he's actually the second Rocky ever elected to the Hall of Fame. Yes, Todd Helton had to wait till January. Jim Leland did it in December of 23, Helton January of 24. The next Rocky that gets into the Hall of Fame would not be Nolan Arenado because he still has to play, and then it's still 5 more years beyond that before he even gets on a ballot, and then another year waiting from winter to summer. But the next Rocky that will get into the Hall of Fame before Nolan Arenado, and I don't have much doubt about it, it's going to be Dale Murphy, who, not a Rocky in the sense that you think, hey, did a couple things with Colorado, was remembered fondly for his time in Colorado. No, you could argue that his time in Colorado was even more fruitless, less fruitful than Jim Leland, because he only played about a month and a half, 2 months with the Rockies. He was trying to get his 400th home run, just couldn't get it done. I think he had one extra base hit. It wasn't great, but he tried to hold on, and he's been a class act. He's a guy that in the early 80s, he won back-to-back NL MVP awards with Atlanta. And his numbers, if you look at, compare him to other players from that era, he absolutely deserves a spot in Cooperstown. He's not a Willie Mays inner Hall of Fame kind of guy. He's not Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, even an Ichiro. You know, you might even say, is he on the Harold Baines extreme? I mean, he's closer to that than Willie Mays, but I think Dale Murphy will eventually get in sooner or later. I'd love to see some kind of push for a veterans committee for an Andres Galarraga. I could see that happening. We're probably about a decade away from something like that going down, but I did see that Jake Storielli from John Boy Media doing a video about how great Andres Galarraga was, and I think almost nobody realized how great of a career Andres Galarraga have, especially when you go back and consider all of the first basemen that are being kept out of the Hall of Fame and all the other sluggers from the 90s and early 2000s that are being held out of the Hall of Fame because of PED use. Galarraga had the numbers, came back from cancer twice, 2-time comeback player of the year. I think he's got a much better shot than people realize. I think Galarraga is much more deserving of the Hall of Fame than a Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez, who I think Cargo, I don't know that he had a longer career of impact than Tulo. I think they were probably about the same. Tulo might have even been a little bit longer, but certainly his peak seasons were better than Cargo's peak seasons. But unfortunately, not enough there for Troy Tulowitzki to make it into the Hall of Fame. But I did see Todd Helton there. I didn't see Larry Walker. He was probably there. But let me know in the chat if you saw Larry Walker at the Hall of Fame inductions. Usually all of the living Hall of Famers do attend. It's pretty rare that they're not there. They know this is on the calendar every year until they die, until they pass away. So I'm sure he was there. I just didn't see him. I did see Todd Helton. It was cool that Nico Smith, Ozzie Smith's son, sang the national anthem. They did a fantastic job. Didn't realize Nico Smith, he was on the fourth season of American Idol. That was cool. First one up, leading off the closer, coincidentally, a guy who was a starting pitcher all throughout his minor league career and became a closer and a relief pitcher as soon as he reached the majors. Billy Wagner giving a shout out to Lance Berkman, saying he deserves to be a Hall of Famer. Berkman is a cuspy guy. Had a .293 batting average in the regular season, .317 batting average in the postseason. Didn't compile a ton, but with Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, and now Billy Wagner in the Hall of Fame, that's three prominent Houston Astros teammates for Lance Berkman who could eventually push to get him in a veterans committee at some point. That wouldn't be that crazy. And if that were to happen, to go back on what I said before, if you can get Lance Berkman in, you can get Matt Holliday in. Holliday on the outside looking in, I think potentially he could be a guy that does get into the Hall of Fame at some point. He was on the ballot and then off immediately, which is a shame because I think more people need to realize how solid of a career that he had. Didn't realize Billy Wagner was a Division III player. First and only Division III player in the Hall of Fame. I love Moises Alou getting a shout out as probably like a first class, like an inner ring Hall of Very Good. Just a player that doesn't get mentioned all that much. He was great. You love Octavio Dotel. Rest in peace. Getting a shout out, former Rockies reliever. Dave Parker's son, who looks identical to his father. I love that. And Dick Allen's widow, Willa Allen, both did an incredible job. Dave Parker's son actually read the speech that Dave wrote before he passed away. That was great. Dave Parker's speech, read by his son, underrated, very good. CeCe Sabathia, he was all about family. I love that he said Ichiro stole his 2001 American League Rookie of the Year award. That's hilarious. Probably not funny to the one writer in Cleveland who in 2001 gave CeCe Sabathia the first place vote in AL Rookie of the Year award voting, which meant Ichiro was one vote short of being unanimous. That was a big deal at the time. And one of the reasons why was because he considered Ichiro not to be a rookie, even though he voted him second, since he had already been a professional over in Japan. That's a debate for another day. But CeCe got me choked up talking about his mother, talking about his family. That was probably the most emotional of all of the speeches. I love that he was able to touch on his bout with alcoholism. I was very proud of him for mentioning that. And then Ichiro, closing it out. He had about a 20-minute speech. It was excellent. It was funny. This is his eighth time visiting Cooperstown. I have a book. I didn't prepare it with me. I picked it up a couple months ago that I think came out in 2004. I've never seen it before. It was, I think, $2, hardcover. Couldn't pass it up. It was called Ichiro on Ichiro. And it was really just like a long-form interview and conversation in his early days of being a big leaguer. And one of the first pictures was 2001, in the winter of 2001, when he first came to America full-time after signing with the Seattle Mariners, that he went to Cooperstown. So, you know, he talked a lot in this speech about the difference between dreams and goals, is that dreams are something you might not ever be able to achieve, but if you can turn those dreams into a goal, now you've got something to strive for, something you can get to. And as a guy who, growing up in Japan, didn't even know Cooperstown and the Baseball Hall of Fame existed, it really was something he could have only dreamed about. And eventually, once he did learn about it, it became a goal of his. And so he eventually was able to live out that dream while an adult. Again, not knowing that it existed as a young man growing up in Japan. He started off by saying, you know, that he's a rookie for the third time in his career. The first time, the Oryx Blue Wave in NPB, then in Seattle at 27 years old in the majors. And now again, as a Hall of Famer, quipping, "Hey, I'm 51, easy on the hazing." First one, crushed. He gave thanks to the Miami Marlins, where he got his 3,000th hit. Also referenced the fact that he did it in Colorado, which was fantastic. I think I might have even been in that video of his 3,000th hit. I know I'm in the video. I pull it up every once in a while. I got tickets as a fan. It was before I officially became a media member. And I know where I'm at. I had an aisle seat, immediately jumped down, went down a couple steps as the ball was flying towards right field, but I knew it was going to be short. But I knew, me, with my light blue cap on and my light blue shirt on, where I was at. So they played that video, thought that was really cool. And he said, you know, when the Marlins contacted me and offered me a contract in 2015, I have to admit, I never heard of your team. And that is, it's so funny, I almost can't laugh, because that is such a dagger. That's such a killer to the entire Marlins organization. Of course he's known who the Marlins were. I didn't look up to see if he had ever played against the Marlins, but 99.9% sure that at some point he would have crossed paths with them. I mean, come on. That's just a great line. It's just hilarious. Gave a great shout out to Hideo Nomo, which I loved, as the guy who paved the way for Japanese players. You know, Ichiro, the first Japanese-born position player to make an impact and come over from the Nippon Professional Baseball League. But it's crazy to think that even now, here in 2025, after Ichiro, and I'm going to lump Hideki Matsui in there because they were from that same era, Matsui coming over in 2003, but there hasn't been another Japanese superstar position player. Think about that. It wasn't even that he paved the way for others to follow. Nobody has kept pace with Ichiro. No one. Matsui was a two-time All-Star, had a really solid career, and before Shohei Ohtani came along, had the most home runs by a Japanese-born player. But no other Japanese position player has ever been a multi-time All-Star. As I dug into it, only one Japanese position player has ever been an All-Star outside of Ichiro and Matsui. That's Kosuke Fukudome in 2008. That's it. Crazy to think how legendary and how improbable, many would say, his career was. Exactly two hitters ever got 3,000 hits after their age 26 season. Remember, he came over at age 27. So it was all after his age 26 season. Pete Rose did that as well. And then you take the flip side and you say, well, how about early on in a career? Well, how about the first seven seasons in the majors? Chuck Klein is number four, number three, Paul Wehner, number two, Kirby Puckett, number one, Ichiro Suzuki, 1,354 most hits in the first 7 years in the big leagues. Even after his speech, talking with John Paul Morosi on MLB Network, he had one more gem. John Paul saying, he ended the interview by saying, arigato gozaimasu, which means thank you very much in Japan, to which Ichiro responded, de nada, which means thank you in Spanish. So Ichiro absolutely crushed it. Very, very memorable. Loved it. 10 out of 10. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Please subscribe to that. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate the momentum you've provided me. But unfortunately, that momentum can only be as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.
Wayfair's big sale is here. It's Way Day, and it's on now. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. Now through October 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So build your cart and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts, included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.